This Fab FM Voice of the Douglas Shire podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
What a beautiful day we have in our Douglas Shire today. And we've got all those, there's about 15 homes destroyed down south in Queensland with lots of other fires burning. So we are so blessed to be up here and away from that. But our hearts go out to fellow Queenslanders affected by that. I'm sure our Mayor Julia Loy will echo those sentiments as well. Doug, good morning, Julia.
Oh, good morning, Paul. Look, it is, and certainly this early into the fire season, there's obviously a lot of talk about all that, and you even see up here things are drying out very, very quickly. And I suppose we all need to think about being water wise. We know that last year we were on quite severe water restrictions at one stage. So, but certainly we know that this is just horrendous what is occurring in New South Wales and Queensland and also in our own far north.
Absolutely. All right, let's get underway with it. Firstly, this lagoon, you announced that Port Douglas, you're looking towards getting funding for the lagoon, but it came sort of out of the blue or left field a little bit. How are your thoughts on this and going forward?
Well, it's actually something that's been discussed and debated by the community since December 2005. We've had a lot of earlier attempts at trying to get a lagoon up, particularly when I was a councillor with Cairns Regional Council. We even got to the stage of having a preferred design costing, and we did pitch for federal funding at the time, but we weren't successful. One of the reasons why we were not successful is because in the end, it didn't really have sufficient community buy-in and support. This time round, I firmly believe that we will get that. What we announced last Thursday was a vision, and we've invited the community to give us their feedback at this very early stage. We know that we have to do the business case. We know we have to do further consultation. We will get further designs, because what we've got at the moment is a vision. But I can tell you the response has been amazing and fantastic. And certainly some well-known commentators in the region have described it as the most exciting project for Port Douglas.
Who are they? Time. Who are the commentators?
Well, certainly the editorial in the Cairns Post by Nick Dalton, who's a very experienced business journalist, very well respected. His editorial was fantastic, and certainly I know that has been reflected within 3 hours of Cairns Post putting something on their Facebook site. There were actually hundreds of comments and hundreds of likes. And the last time I looked, I've actually never seen quite a response in my time as councillor to a particular article. So it gives us a lot of confidence to go to the next step. And certainly in the last few days, I've had a lot of really positive feedback from the community. I mean, there will, of course, be lots of questions, because at this early stage, there are lots of things that still have to be determined.
Locally here, Chairman of the Mossman Botanic Gardens, John Sullivan, has slammed this to Fab FM. He says, look, there's some aspects of this that should have been considered. One is the cost of running this. Now, do you understand, or do you know what the cost per year would be to run this lagoon?
Look, these are all some of the things that will be determined once you do the business case. The business case is designed to actually nail down the overall cost. There will be various options in relation to the overall capital cost, and also that will then determine what the operational costs are. And they're certainly the things that we discussed many years ago as well. I mean, we're in a different position now in terms of, for the last 6 years since we've established the new council, we've gone from a $5.2 million deficit to a budget this year that has a projected surplus. We're in a much better place. We have no debt, by the way.
Yeah.
Cairns Regional Council has more than $18 million debt. Cooktown has about $10 million debt. So we're in a good place financially. And I know that federal and state politicians have often told me over the last few years that they want a really good project to be able to support in the Douglas Shire. And this one will fit the bill because it is tourism infrastructure, but it is also infrastructure that locals really want. It will be a croc-free and stinger-free lagoon. Mm. And when we talked about this years ago, the issue in relation to crocodiles, Paul, was not at the same level that it is now. We now know that a lot of people, unfortunately, are maybe deterred from perhaps going down to the beach, which is a real shame. Mm. And so this will complement, it will complement our beautiful Four Mile Beach. It will complement what occurs at the Surf Club. And it actually is great because it's at one end of the Macrossan Street, the other end, and it's all connected by our new Flagstaff Hill walking track as well. So we have Repnell Park, we have all the beautiful grassed area between the Sugar Wharf and the Combines Club. So it's a really good addition to Port Douglas.
Well, and Julia,
so I understand that people might be concerned about operational costs. Of course they would be. But these are the things that we will determine in our business case.
Okay, well, look, I'll just let you know, down in Cairns 5 years ago, it was costing $1 million for their lagoon to be run. So if you're looking at $1 million plus, can the council afford $1 million plus to run this thing?
Well, they're all the things that we will obviously consider.
But couldn't you
this
have...
Is a project
excuse me, Julia,
take,
just,
for, will take
just
some
one
time
second. Can I just... Excuse me, sorry to interrupt. I just want to ask you, though, surely things like cost of running this, other aspects of this, should be determined first before an announcement. Once again, you know, maybe the cart before the horse, that you work out your business plan, you work out whether this can be supported by council with the amount of money you have to spend, then make the announcement if you believe all of this thing stack up.
Look, I reject that assertion, Paul. What we've done is we put out something so people can have a look at it and give their feedback. The next step is the business case, the economic case, and part of that will, of course, be determining once you get the capital and then you work out what the operational cost, and then council will make further decisions about whether to go ahead. That we've done this before. If we had had to do that initially and then rejected something on a so-called prognosis that may not be accurate, we probably would never have done the water reservoir. We wouldn't have been pitching for the Mossman aged care facility. We wouldn't have even started to talk about the Wonkettie Trail. You have to start somewhere. You start with a vision. What we've done is we wanted to first talk to the Surf Club, and they have been unanimous in their support. They think it is fantastic.
Well, of course,
they can
see
the future.
We need
to
support them. We need to support the Surf Lifesaving Club. We need to support them. We definitely need to support the Surf Lifesaving Club, Julie. There's no doubt of that. But look, a couple of aspects that you need to look into. One is this no chemicals. It's going to use no chemicals. Now, how does that tackle things like kids wearing and adults wearing sunscreen, midgy cream and sprays? The deputy mayor has said there's going to be a pool for dogs. So how are you going to do that without chemicals?
Look, all these things are going to be worked out, although certainly Philip Johnson, who is an international expert, he is very used to designing chemical-free swimming pools, and they're been happening in Germany for 30 years. There's all sorts of ways to do that. But we will be also obviously liaising very strongly with Queensland Health to ensure that the swimming area meets all the health and safety regulations.
Okay. Now let's move on. And I want to defend your CEO, Mark Stormer. Now, there's a story in Newsport yesterday. You would have seen that, casting doubt on the fact, or he was quoted as coming up and standing up at a think tank meeting at the CWA Hall on Saturday and saying there was doubt on carbon neutral future for our shire and for council. Now, I was sitting two seats from Mark, and I believe he did not say that. He simply said council was putting things on hold, as you do. You're going to have that meeting tomorrow and formally say that the conference with Qantas and Green Collar, that's all over. But he simply said that you're now going to sit back, reassess things, and look at moving forward. How do you see the story in Newsport and what you believe the CEO was saying?
Well, certainly, Mark and I have discussed this since then. The headline for the story is totally inaccurate. Mark never said that. He never cast doubt over our decision. It's very clear that in the media release that we had when we announced this on the 29th of August, that we were going to discontinue the proposed partnership with Qantas and that we were going to focus on local projects. And we were also announcing that we were considering buying a block of land and that we were going to go ahead with that. And so, exactly as you said, I know, and I've spoken to a few people as well who were at that meeting, that Mark didn't say that. So
I'm sure
that we'll take that up. I mean, the media, as we all know, has various interpretations of things, but in this case, Mark never said that. And so to imply that is inaccurate and false.
Well, Mayor Julia Loy, I agree totally with you on this one, because as I said, I was sitting two seats away from him and I was listening very intently with what Mark said. And he did not say that. He just said, as you do with all situations, if something fails or doesn't go the way you want it to do, what do? You sit back, you reassess and work out going forward what you're going to do. So, look, I just had to mention that as a journalist because I believe you got to get your facts right. And as I said, I was listening to Mark and what you say is absolutely true. Now, moving on, we're talking with our Mayor, Julia Loy. Julia, you mentioned to me earlier that you have about five things you'd like to discuss. What are those?
Oh, yeah. So the last few days, there's been some fantastic community events, and I know many of the people in the community were there because I saw them there. But look, the first one was this great film that many people saw last, I think it was Thursday night. It's a new documentary called 2040. And it's actually about a real look at what really the green future of the whole planet. And it's very interesting. It certainly covers a lot of the things that the council are really aspiring to, regeneration, agriculture, certainly renewable energy, all sorts of things to do with, you know, how you can work together with the community. And in a way, it was like a call to action. And this film was hosted by the Great Barrier Reef Legacy, and I certainly commend them on doing that. And so I know that the film is out there, and I'd certainly encourage people to have a good look at it. The other thing that's interesting, Landline, yesterday on ABC. If people want to know more about regenerative agriculture and carbon farming, they should check out the Landline, which was aired yesterday.
And so
some of the other things... Oh, sorry, you continue, Paul.
Well, yes, I was just going to add the fact that you were talking about that. Clint Reynolds is a cane farmer that spoke at the think tank, and he's one of maybe a half dozen cane farmers who are looking to improve their soil. And improving their soil, it's not only good for them, but it's good for the environment and the reef. And he was talking, I mean, his eyes lit up. It was like he'd won the lotto. And he says it's like winning gold lotto to actually pick up a shovel full of soil and see seven earthworms in it. When he had to pick up seven, shovelfuls to find one earthworm before he started looking at ways of improving the quality of his soil so that when there is runoff, it is clean runoff, it is not nasty runoff, it is not bad runoff. And I applaud that, and that sort of works in with what you're saying there, that some of our cane farmers like Clint are thinking outside the square and saying, how do we improve the quality of our soil? How do we help the environment? How do we help the reef? And also adding, Julia, he was saying that the average age of cane farmers in our area are 67 years of age. We even have some cane farmers at 80 working. Now, it's hard to change a mindset, but people like Clint are trying to, and I applaud him for it.
Look, you're absolutely right, and Clint's doing a great job. There are a number of cane farmers and other farmers that have been working really hard on this for a number of years in the Douglas Shire. Certainly it's a worldwide movement, regenerative agriculture, healthy soils, minimum tillage, reduced use of pesticides, all those things, of course, in Douglas are perfect in terms of minimising runoff onto the reef. And I know that there's been some state government programs and also Terrain. NRM has been working really hard on this for many years. And my husband is very, very familiar, and that's exactly what we do on our farm. My husband is a founding member of Regeneration International. He used to be the president of the World Organic Board. He's just done a book with Vandana Shiva, who is absolutely a guru internationally. And so I actually live and breathe this stuff and have for many years. And it's great to see that this is really picking up in the Douglas Shire. We know that farmers and people need to have some support. The time is right to do this, but people need to come to their own conclusion about how to change their practices. And once they can see the benefits, they will do that.
Anyway, I interrupted you. You were talking about some other things. Is there anything else you'd like to add before I move on to the Alex range?
Look, yes, thank you very much, Paul. Look, Friday night was sensational. The opening of the Art in Transit gallery was amazing. It was standing room only and people were spilling out onto the footpath. And this is an exhibition and a gallery where people can obviously purchase art from up to about 18 local artists. And the official opening, I was really honoured to be able to open the gallery. And I really want to commend Chrissy McLaughlin and all the people who have supported her, and particularly the artists. And I would encourage everyone to go down and have a look. Treat yourself. This is fantastic. It's great for artists. It's great for our cultural experiences. And it's also really good for our economy. And so that gallery is at Coconut Grove on McCrossan Street. And check it out. Don't miss it.
Fantastic.
Yep. The other two things I was going to, or three things actually I was going to let you know about, we had some fantastic family fun days in both Port Douglas last Friday and Mossman at the showgrounds. That was on Saturday.
Fantastic.
And that was relation to Child Protection Week. And so our community services organisations together, certainly the Port Douglas Neighbourhood Centre was primarily involved in organising the one with the help of many others on last Friday at Rexmoor Park. It was just a sensational day. It was just beautiful. And then, of course, on Saturday at the showground, the same thing by the Youth Centre and the Mossman Support Services. And so there were so many different people enjoying it and groups. So I just really wanted to really do a shout out to all those organisers and all the people who participated in both those days.
Fantastic. And yes,
finally, before we go to Alex Range, it was a big weekend for many of us. So much happening in the beautiful Douglas Shire. But on Saturday afternoon, our Petonkers, the Petonk group, they have so much fun, and it's a great little sport, and it's so much fun and so much friendship involved as well. They hosted for the second time the regional Petonk tournament, and so there were Petonkers from Mission Beach and Cairns that came up and joined our Port Douglas people. And so they have a lot of fun, and also I'm happy to report that the winners were three ladies groups, all from Port Douglas.
Congrats.
And so I was able to go there and sort of open up that regional tournament. So it was nothing better than being at Market Park on Saturday afternoon.
Beautiful. Well, we'll have to do the last one quickly for time restrictions, but Alex Range reopening, $1.5 million, as I understand, in works, and at last it's going to reopen. Is it this week?
Look, what we're hoping is at the moment, as you're probably aware, we've been doing this Alexander Range project since February, and that was to do with a substantial landslip and subsidence of the road. So the guardrails will be completed. We hope that they've been completed late last week. There's some line marking scheduled for today, and then the barriers and the traffic signals can be removed, and we're hoping that that will all be done by Wednesday. And then the road will be back to normal.
Beautiful. Well, it was good anyway, because Marion and I went to the Daintree at the weekend, and although we had the little traffic lights and what have you, and they had the barricades up there, we moved very quickly. It's a good little operation they have with those automatic lights. So that's but it will be good when they are removed and people can move through. It's a beautiful place over there. Thank you very much, Julia. You have a wonderful day, and you've got your important meeting tomorrow, and good luck with that, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks very much, Paul. You have a great week as well.